Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. It would happen to be Wednesday. That's the day we not only play the camel at the beginning of the show, but towards the end of the show, we have this thing we like to call the Grand Council. Now, apparently I've got one who is AWOL right now, absent without leave. We don't know where Jeff Poor is, but I do believe that on the line with us currently from 770 AM, 925 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, also writing for Yellowhammer News, who happens to now be, once again, a noted published author and now a fitness guru influencer, Dale Jackson. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Go check out my new book on all my social media platforms. Eat less, exercise more, and shut up.
Listen, has anybody ever given you quite the introduction I just gave you? I mean, I just ran your resume in like 10 seconds.
And you didn't even get half the stuff. You forgot that I'm also on Talk 99.5 in Birmingham, 1440 News Radio Montgomery. I'm also on Talk Radio, 730 AM, 1039 FM.
That was actually a cue for humility where you're supposed to say, thank you, Phil.
I missed it. I don't get that cue.
Okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. Two out of three of us are here. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, Big Rig.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ta-da. All right. We're going for it, man. I'm not going to sit around waiting on Jeff Poor. He may call in when he gets a chance. But in the meantime, Dale Jackson, what question do you have for me?
Is there a single human being not on talk radio, not named Kyle Whitmire, not in the Alabama legislature, or not writing about politics in some way, shape, or form in this state that gives a hot damn about this ethics reform at all? Is there a single person?
Well, there apparently is, because I'm going to have Stan McDonald and Lynn Stewart both on my show.
They don't count. They're the same. One's a former chief justice and the others ran for Congress. What are you talking about?
Well, I'm just saying, man, they care. Now, listen, I care. I had Matt Simpson on my show the other day, but I was one of the crew that helped pass the new ethics reform laws I'll be honest. We walked on eggshells because of the laws we passed. And there are certain, you know, like Mike Hubbard, he went down because of the ethics laws he helped pass. But I get real leery when I see people trying to undo it, because I know what we had to fix in 2010. What are your thoughts on your own question?
Well, I have a hard time believing this is anything other than an inside baseball pissing contest. You have some people that say, hey, we should have some ethics reform. And so people go, oh, well, what's wrong with the ethics reform we got? And they go, well, we don't like that kind of ethics reform. Well, how about this kind of ethics reform? We don't like that idea. And then whoever has the most votes wins. This idea.
Well, you know what you just described is the democratic process, right?
I understand that.
Okay. I just want to make sure you recognize that we do live in a democracy.
Right. But look, in this representative republic we live in it's important for us to understand that there are lines that if you cross, you'll be in trouble. And sometimes those lines move depending on things that happen. And there's been a little bit of a talk about Matt Hart going too far and, you know, people going to the Ethics Commission and going, hey, can I do this? And them going, yeah, sure, why not? And then them doing it and then being like, oh, you're in trouble now. And it just, that stuff happened. So the system we had wasn't very good. They've changed it up a little bit. I'm willing to give it a crack. Okay.
Well, we'll see. But you know what I hear? I hear what it really is Jeff Poor from 1819 News needs to know that he's got lots of friends in the legislature and give away some swag from 1819 so he can get more vote. Oh, wait. Is Jeff out there right now? Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
I got an idea. All they needed to do was put, like, Tom Albritton and Steve Marshall and Matt Simpson and some kind of wrestling tights and a mask, and that might make Dale Jackson care, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. Now, would we?
So WrestleMania is this weekend. Sure, set it up.
I'm sorry it's not interesting enough for you, Dale Jackson, but it is important.
And I'll be honest with you, yeah, to Jeff's point, I think it's hugely important. When I got elected in 2010, the first thing we did, I didn't even know where the bathrooms were in the state house. And Governor Riley called us in for a special session. So I can now say that I did serve under Governor Riley, too, because all it was about when we first got elected was quickly fix the ethics reform laws or the ethics laws before the lobbying class had a chance to worm its way into the new class of folks that were there. So I'm real leery of it. There's a few things that I get it. You know, it seems like, you know, staffers in local communities shouldn't have to worry too much about all the reports they have to file. At the same time, it's not that hard. So let's go ahead and do it because it keeps honesty in the forefront. Hey, Jeff from FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Porch Show and editor-in-chief of 1819 News. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I am now present.
Well, we're glad you're present. What question do you have for the crew?
How shocked is the establishment in Alabama going to be tomorrow when they find out that in a committee hearing I just walked out of, they got a ban on drag queens and drag shows in places where there are minors?
Oh boy.
Oh God. It's going to change their life. How can this possibly be? How can we in Alabama possibly say that we care about children and keeping the prurient interests of drag queens away from our kids? So the bill came out of committee, huh?
So it was attached to the library, one of the library bills. There's a bunch of them.
But this,
Arnold Mooney came in and they got it in, and they had their 24 hours. And when they introduced it to today was public comment on it. So now it is part of that bill that the entire House will, I guess, consider.
Is this a House bill or a Senate bill that's already made it through the Senate?
It's a House bill.
Okay.
It's a Mooney bill.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's got a little bit of uphill climbing to do. No pun intended. Going to the seventh floor, but
I think it's got the Ledbetter, the Speaker, as a co-sponsor.
Good. Outstanding. That needs to happen. I mean, here's a question that never gets asked, and I asked somebody the other day that was trying to troll me on the text line here on my show. I said the bigger question is, why do you want drag queens in front of kids? Why? Why do you want that? And there's no good answer to it. Well, we just feel the need to demonstrate our lifestyle to children. No, you don't. You want to sexualize those kids. You're grooming them.
That's why there were some people there to speak out against the bill, but it was mostly about the library part. And I got to give it to Stadhagen. Said, no, this is, and he called it what it is. It's grooming. It is sexualizing young kids. If we wouldn't be here today, if kids weren't involved. And I mean, it just finally took somebody just to outright say it, what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Space camp, look out. Here we come. Dale, anything to add on that?
I know. I think you guys have said it all. It's exactly what it is. These people are freaks, and they're being called freaks and being told to stop being freaks around kids. And they're going, what, us? We're not doing anything. They're freaks. So they're doing plenty.
All right. Here's my next question. Speaking of freaks. So today, and I haven't seen any new reporting, but allegedly, Pete Buttigieg is in the state. Buttigieg came on down from D.C. to meet with Liberal Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham to bring a grant to help us fix our racist roads. Did you know we had racist roads in Alabama and that we need our taxpayer dollars to be brought in from D.C. to help us fix our problems? Racist roads. Dale, you first.
Isn't it like $14.5 million to make one road a two-way street or something?
Something ridiculous, yeah.
It's just so stupid. And they're proud of it. Imagine being the mayor of a city that is under a ransomware attack right now, where people were talking about bringing guns and to the park as some sort of end of spring break party, where the only city function that seems to actually be working is the picking up of corpses on the side of the road. That imagine being the mayor of that city and welcoming in the Secretary of Transportation to Tulane, our road. What are we doing?
It's nuts. Talk to us there, Jeff Poor.
Well, I don't know if you remember Richard Arrington. He used to be the mayor of Birmingham a long time ago. But y'all know that the interstates were not, they were the last to be finished through Mobile. And part of that was George Wallace not wanting to finish the interstates because they never would vote for Wallace in Birmingham. But there's also this notion that if they built the interstates, you would have the white flight out of Birmingham into the suburbs. So they're going back to the well on this one about interstate highways being racist because they help enable white flight from the inner city into the suburbs.
Well, I mean, I've got an article right here in front of me because I might do some time on this when we get off of Grand Council. But Route 66, which was not known for being, you know, it's like an enclave of minority representation. Route 66 pretty much lost its dynamism because of the interstate system. So it's not like it's geared towards racism. It's just that bigger roads come in and that's where the traffic goes. And I, this whole thing is ridiculous. It's the reality that we need Pete Buttigieg to save us from ourselves still irritates the crap out of me.
And Senator, like, the historical perspective here is Eisenhower built the interstate highways to look like the Autobahn in Germany because of national defense. They knew they needed to move troops around the country to keep us safe. And these idiots in these cities, these major American cities, want to tear the interstate down.
Well, it's a good thing we got Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth to make sure we have a six lane going all the way to and from the coast. That's important. And I say that not. I mean, I agree. I think we need to do that. The interstate system being what it is. You just got to stay on top of things, and commerce is going to go where the flow of traffic will let it. Dale, final thoughts?
Yeah, I think that this is a silly thing and a non-serious person handling non-serious issues. Isn't there a bridge or something that fell down recently that Buttigieg could be hanging out around?
Aren't there planes falling from the skies? And, oh, by the way, our strategic petroleum reserves are depleted, and yet, but he's going to fix those racist roads. That's important. All right, that is round one. That flew by. Round one, the Grand Council. I am with all three of us here. Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News. Dale Jackson, who's on like every radio station in North Alabama, as well as writing books and Yellowhammer News. And just little old me, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going back to round number two, Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I think Dale, the noted author and fitness guru influencer, you have the first question. What you got?
1819 News, which is under fire from AL.com today, by the way.
Oh, my gosh.
1819 News has a story up about Mo Brooks, and they're talking about how he is upset about them not pushing closed primaries, the ALGOP, that is, not pushing closed primaries, calling it a surrender to the socialists. This is something he's been pushing here for a while, and you keep hearing stuff from Republicans who say, you know, we got to start taking money from the AEA, we got to have closed primaries, we got to have all these other things. Why don't they just pull the trigger on both of those things?
Jeff, it's your article first. Go ahead and weigh in.
Well, they're working toward the AEA stuff. That's the works. Now, the closed primaries, I think, when I talked to the chairman, they're trying to pick and choose their fights. You can't just pile on the legislature in 1 year. I think this year, the primary focus was school choice. Obviously, there's some other things, the ballot harvesting things that impact elections directly, what the ALGOP exists for. But, the closed primary thing, I'm surprised it hasn't come sooner, but my understanding is that it will come, just maybe not this year.
Yeah, and then we have already where you can't do, you know, primary hopping. You can't vote one party in the primary, vote different in the general, if I'm not mistaken. Or is it the runoff? I forget which.
But the runoff.
The runoff, yeah. That's right. You can't try to fix the primary and then crush it in the runoff. I got mixed feelings on this because on the one hand, I know that people have a right to vote their conscience and you don't want to wind up stymieing the vote. And that's what they're going to argue. And I get it. I get that point. But then the other piece of this, though, is if you're a card carrying Democrat, then and you voted in every Democrat election just prior, then what are you doing in the Republican? But we're going to wind up having the opportunity, I think, once again, to see like the days of the Reagan Democrats where they came over because they were so sick of where they were with Carter and everything else. So it's a hard nut to crack. How do we get there? Dale, your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think that it needs to happen. I've been talking about this for at least 10 years. And, I understand why they're talking about it because, you know, the Republicans take over. They have a super majority. Democrats flood the ranks. And then you soften the positions of some of the elected officials. They get elected. I get all of that. But if you're going to do it, just pull the trigger. Stop talking about it, please. Well,
and let's not forget, too, this is by all accounts, this is how Bradley Byrne did not become governor because why Robert Bentley did. Because the AEA actually advocated for the party switch for the primary to try and get the candidate they wanted to run against. Next question. Jeff Rowe, you got one?
Yeah, just kind of being in the state house. These guys are really worried about this unionization push at the Mercedes-Benz plants in Vance. I, I when I first heard it, I was very skeptical that they would unionize. And just kind of seeing how the unionizing did not work out for them at Amazon, 20 miles away. It's just Alabama is just not, never has really been big on unions. But now I'm starting to think maybe there's something to be concerned about. Is there any way that Alabama is moving toward being a pro or a big labor sort of union state with these auto manufacturers?
Well, here's a couple of things I think that make it more concerning right now, because you've got the fact that, number one, the environment pro-union from the top down, D.C. all the way down, is stronger at this particular moment than it has ever been. And that's even from the legislative standpoint. I mean, they are pushing union this, union that, coming out of D.C. And so they've got the wind at their back on that in that regard. Here's the other thing. The UAW is a much bigger force to deal with. The idea of unionizing Amazon workers felt unique. It felt weird. But everybody's used to the idea of unions in an auto plant. And so I think it's got more momentum for that very reason. Dale?
Yeah, I think that there is a real concern, and you're seeing it in legislation from Senator Orr about people on their own accepting a union, and they want to stop that. And so if they're going to do it, they got to vote it. And all they have to do is point to UPS and point to the auto workers and all the money they've gotten over the last couple of days, or last couple of years, rather. And why wouldn't they vote for that if they can think they can utilize that to extract money out of their employer? That's exactly what's going to happen. The end result of that could be very bad for the state.
Well, I think that the BCA and some of the other organizations, the Manufacturer Alabama and the auto industry here in the state, better get their act together and make sure they've got the right people help working the issues. And there are people that specialize in helping with this, but I would be concerned right now because there's enough momentum in the background. All right, last question here, right before we go to the break, is Dale Jackson about to be on the cusp of having a best-selling book? Jeff, what do you think?
That is so such an awesome. That is a Dale Jackson question sitting here. I'm disappointed that you would even pose something so silly and so ludicrous.
All right. I love you both in spite of yourselves.
The answer is yes, by the way.
And Jeff, do some push-ups for being late. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. That's the Grand Council with Jeff Poore from 1819 News. And Dale Jackson writes for Yellowhammer and does all kinds of radio. Both of them, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, myself. We will be right back.